Welcome to Copper Country Today, heard Sunday mornings at 7 o'clock on 97.7 The Wolf, 8 o'clock on 1400 AM, 99.3 FM WCCY, and 9 o'clock on KBear 102.3. Our program is brought to you in part by the members of the Copper Country Education Association and by the Copper Country Veterinary Clinic, proud supporters of the Copper Country Humane Society and the Keweenaw Spay and Neuter Assistance Group. You can also listen to a podcast of our program by going to the Copper Country Today page at KeweenawReport.com. My guest in this segment is the superintendent at Calumet Loriam Keweenaw Schools. Daryl Pierce joins me in studio. Thank you, Mr. Pierce, for joining me today.
Good morning, Sam. It's great to be here.
Alrighty, let's talk about, recent news has the CLK schools ranked the number one district in the Upper Peninsula, one of the best in the entire state. And I believe back in October, it was ranked within the top 500 within the entire nation. And we're talking about 14,000 different schools. What's your secret?
I guess, Sam, I don't think you can pinpoint one thing that were maybe a curriculum or technology. It's a combination of everything. But I truly believe that I think our success is because of our culture in our school district. It's a culture of commitment to excellence. It's a culture of dedicating everything we can to the kids in our school. Again, it's all about an attitude in our district that we all work hard together as a staff, as a board, to ensure all our students' success. And we're talking about all students. They're human beings, so there's a wide variety of learning styles and differences, home life. So you do have the factor of having to personalize instruction. I think with our staff, such a caring attitude that they look at every student as their own, and same thing everybody else in the school, and that's the way we take it. So I think it's a caring attitude that we'll do whatever it takes to make sure that our kids are successful. And really, so it's really a cultural thing, not only a cultural thing from a staff, again, the caring attitude, but also there's a culture of our student body. And I think that comes to, again, they enjoy coming to school. And I know we're going to get into this a little bit further when it comes to technology. But again, they enjoy coming to school. When they get to school, they're very engaged. And that's mainly because we brought an education that we feel that they desire. And that is more of the technology piece. We made a commitment to our technology 4 years ago when we brought our iPad initiative. It's a one-to-one initiative. Grades 4 through 12 get an iPad. Grades 6 through 12, they get to take them home. Grades 4 and 5 do not. Take them home, they leave them in the classroom. And then grades K-3, we have pods of iPads in every classroom. But again, what we do is technology is their world, and what we wanted to do is bring their world into the classroom. So when they come, they're excited and they're engaged. A more engaged student is a better learner. So we view our students as our customers, and we had to meet the needs of our customers. And when 4 years ago, 5 years ago, when we started looking at the technology piece and bringing education to our kids what they desire and that they would enjoy learning from, is that, again, we needed something that, and that's where the iPad came into play, of bringing technology, giving them the knowledge that's out there in the world at their fingertips, and they can access it anytime, anywhere, any place. So I think that's the cultural side of things. The students enjoy coming, and they have fun learning in our district just because of the culture. With the iPad initiative, many schools throughout the state over these 4 years have come up to our school and toured our school to see how the iPad's working, how's it look in the classroom, and talk to teachers, talk to kids, talk to administration. And every time a district comes in, they usually send 5, 6, 7, 8 representatives. When they walk in our building, it's like they say, wow, something special about this place. The kids are polite. They're engaged in their iPads. They're learning even in the hallways. They're on their iPads. They're reading all the time on their iPads. They're researching on their iPads. And all these people that come up and tour our school, they just said, wow, you got something special here. And again, it just comes from the culture of the staff, the caringness. Then it comes from the culture of our students. But then it comes also the community. All the stuff that we're doing in our district, all the innovative things is for kids, is our parents and our community looking at it and saying, boy, that school, that district really cares about our kids and cares about our community. So it's that whole cultural thing, Sam.
And for the most part, when you look at a successful district, usually the board is pretty successful. Is that the case here?
There's no question. The board leadership, and that's where it all starts, Sam. And I was just talking to a few people where I said our board is stable. The board members either have children in the district or grandchildren. So there's that caring that they want to make sure that their kids are getting a quality education, which in turn means everybody's going to get a quality education.
Exactly.
So we've had a very stable board over the years. We've got some veterans that have been on there a long time. We've got a couple of new ones due to the way the elections work and the terms. And so we got some new members. But again, they're on there for the right reasons. They're on there for the kids. And that's our goal. That's everything in a school has to do with kids. So they're there for the kids. And that leadership, and then that leadership just kind of siphons or funnels down into the staff, into the students, and then into the community. So it is no question in my mind that board stability and board leadership is the number one thing that has to happen in order for a district to be successful.
With all the publicity that the CLK schools and Calumet High School is getting, has it... Obviously, I mean, in what ways has it helped the district? I mean, have you seen an increase in enrollments?
It's not that we've seen an increase in enrollment, but it's more of a pride thing.
Okay.
People are very proud up in Calumet of our school. All the awards that we're getting, again, we're the most northern K-12 school in the state. And I'll tell you, I know people down in Lansing and down in Lower Michigan, and they have heard of Calumet Schools, whether it's technology, whether it's awards, or some of the innovative programs that we're doing. People are hearing about us and all over the state. We got a great 3D printing program where one of our students met the governor and showed him the 3D printing programs with the governor and Scott DeAnda and Tom Casperson. They love coming into our building. And one thing about us is we open our building to everybody. We want people to know what we're doing and who we are.
You're listening to Copper Country Today here with my guest, CLK School Superintendent Daryl Pierce. Let's get into, we talked so much about just so many different layers of what the success can be attributed to. What would you say a common trait is among the teachers in the CLK district?
Well, I think a common trait is, and when we look at teachers again, when we hire teachers, we have to look at, when we interview, you look at credentials and stuff like that, but in our interview process, we want to make sure that the teachers that we're hiring are there for the right reasons. They're there for children, and children's success. So I think that's a common thing that you need to look for is, credentials and experience and everything. But I think, Calumet's a unique place to work. We have to look for it since we're so heavily involved and rely on technology. We have to make sure that our candidates are coming in, know how to use technology, how to use the iPads in the classroom, whether it comes to the flipped classroom, whether it comes to blended learning, because we do have a different learning model and teaching model than most schools when it comes to utilizing technology in the classroom. So again, the number one thing is, though, they have to be in the profession for the right reasons, and that's children and ensuring that they're successful.
Well, speaking of the success of the students, let's get to the high school side of everything and prepping the students for college. Just real quick, any idea? I mean, obviously, there's Tech and Northern out in Marquette. When you look at where these graduates are going, is it pretty much all over?
No, mostly our students, I would say around 60% have been going to Michigan Tech. A vast majority go there, and then Northern is the next biggest. So those are our two major universities that our students go to. But last year we started our early college program, again, to ensure the success of our kids when they leave Calumet schools, that they're successful when they step on a campus of a university, because it can be a daunting thing as we all go to university as a freshman. You know, you're just like, wow, now what do I do? Kind of thing. So that's why we implemented our early college program. Again, we were the first in the Upper Peninsula to institute an early college program. We're partnering with Cohiba Community College in our program, where it's really a five-year program. So as a freshman, you start as a ninth grader, and then what we've added was a fifth year of high school for our students. And primarily, the way the program works is you start taking college classes as a junior. We do have some sophomores that are advanced.
Yeah.
But you mainly really start as a junior. You start taking college classes simultaneously with your high school classes. So you're really a digital citizen. You're a college student and a high school student. And then senior, you take a little bit more college classes. And then as a fifth-year student, you're still counting that high school student, but you're primarily 100% a college student. So the junior and senior college classes are right in our high school. Mm-hmm. And then the fifth-year classes, our students have some classes in our high school, but most of them are on the Houghton campus at Gogeba Community College.
It sounds like, I remember when I first heard about this program, and it just seems like amazing. It's something I've never heard of, and obviously the students are very excited about it. I wanted to ask you, what are the parents, what's their reaction to a program like this?
Well, it's a great program for them because all that tuition, mm-hmm. because it's all paid for by the school.
Exactly.
And you can earn up to 60 college credits. So basically, that's 2 years of schooling that you're getting paid for. And I got a son that goes to Michigan Tech University, and I know some people that go to U of M and different universities.
It's not cheap.
It's not cheap. So you look at it, and the parents are – we've had an overwhelming success, really. We have 136 students in the program, mm-hmm. which last year – when we first implemented it, I thought, well, we might get 25 students, but it's been so successful. So we got 136 students total. We have 63 students that are in the five-year program, mm-hmm. out of a class of about 90. So 63% of our kids are in the fifth-year program. And then we have 83 other students that are some sophomores, juniors, and seniors. And again, what we wanted to really do in our high school, again, for the kids and the parents, but also we want to raise the bar in our high school because you got to have academics, certain academics to get into the early college program. So as a freshman, there's not a lot of freshmen that are thinking college. You know, when they jump into a freshman year in high school, college is the furthest thing from their mind. But what we wanted to do is say, okay, as a freshman, you got to keep your academics up or you're not going to get into early college. And your parents, they're not going to be happy because now they're not going to save the tuition money. So we wanted to really raise the bar in our high school, which it dramatically has. We wanted to have a culture of college in our high school. So now our freshmen and sophomores are rubbing shoulders with our college juniors and senior students. So they're talking college. They're listening to the other kids talk about their college classes. So again, we had a culture of college. It has transformed our high school. It is amazing. And you have to actually walk in there because we do have our college wing where we've got signs up where it's Gogeba Community College, CLK Early College Program. So you get that sense that you're actually on a college campus, yeah, more than a high school. But that was all by design. So we could raise the bar in our high school, get that culture of college thinking. So these kids, right as they enter the high school, they're thinking college. But even in the middle school, they hear of the early college. And so they're starting to think, you know, college already in the middle school because they want to get into the early college program. So it's definitely been a benefit for our students and, of course, our parents.
You're listening to Copper Country Today here with my guest, Daryl Pierce, superintendent of the CLK schools. Let's get into one of the bigger pieces of news last year. The ACT test has now been dropped, and now it's the SAT. I guess specifically for the CLK schools, what does that mean for the students?
Well, I guess initially for our students, it's going to be a big change because what we've done in Calumet, and I think all schools in Michigan, you know, the ACT has been in place since 2007. Mm-hmm. Every school has spent a lot of resources and a lot of time and commitment into preparing our kids to take the ACT. I mean, it starts way back in middle school with ACT prep. And what that'll do now is, again, we spent a lot of time and resources. That goes away because now we got to shift gears to the SAT where, yeah, it's going to save the state a lot of money. But what they didn't look at is when they made the change is they didn't consider the district's time, commitment, and resources that we've put in. Mm-hmm. So that's going to change 180 degrees, and now we have to start all over preparing our students for the SAT. So our 10th graders will be the first ones because it's going to be implemented in 2016. So this year's 10th graders are the ones going to be impacted. So now all of us in the state of Michigan and high schools, yeah, it can be done, and we'll do it. But again, we spent so much time on it that it's we were kind of blindsided by it.
It did come out of nowhere.
And that was one day all of a sudden there was an email across all our emails that the switch has been made. And one thing I struggle with, Sam, is the transparency of it all. You look at it. We knew that it was out for bids, but we never really thought that there'd be a change. And what were the rubric for the bid criteria? Nobody knew anything about that. Mm-hmm. How were they graded? How were these, you know, SAT, ACT? How were they graded? But it seemed to come down to a lot of just cost. But again, yeah, the state's saving money. It's costing us money and time. Time is valuable. But again, I have a real issue with the whole transparency part of it all. Is you look at the committee, they had a vice president of a community college who don't even use the ACT or the SAT. They don't use it. So I don't know why this person was on the committee. You had one superintendent. You had one high school principal. You had an ISD consultant who, again, doesn't use the ACT or SAT. And you had an MDE representative. So again, that was the committee. And usually in the Department of Education, when there's a major change like that, they involve the whole educational community in the state. This did not happen this time. Next thing you know, we're switching, and it took us all by surprise. So I guess I struggle more with that, with the transparency part of it, and all the time and commitment and resources we put into it. Now we have to switch gears. Again, you're not going to see a lot of impact from the student or parent side of things. But again, it's going to take a lot more work and a lot of extra time and effort on our part to make sure our kids are prepared, for the SAT. Another reason I don't understand why the universities didn't have a representative in that committee. Why True. Community college? They're impacted huge. You know, ACT is really a Midwestern kind of, college entrance exam. SAT is kind of more on the East Coast. And, so Michigan is one of the few Midwestern states now will be using the ACT. Yeah, the universities can use the ACT, SAT, both. But again, it is a big impact. And again, it'll be bid out again, and it could be another switch. So again, this whole testing thing, not only the ACT, SAT, but the Department of Education has changing even in our grade levels. K-12, they're changing from the MEAP test to the M-step test. And now, after 1 year, this is a one-year test. They're switching to another test. So this whole testing thing is, again, it puts a lot of pressure, and it has a huge impact on the school districts in the state of Michigan.
Another subject that got a lot of talk was about the vocational education and skilled trades. Specifically, even Representative Scott Dianda was really, really pushing for this, and Senator Tom Casperson. What's your take on what the CLK schools has been able to do to emphasize in that field?
Right, yeah, and I think what happened was, and it all stems back to the Michigan Merit Curriculum, and that's kind of what created this career and tech crisis, I call it, kind of thing, nationwide. Not only in Michigan, but nationwide. You hear President Obama and a lot of people talking that we don't have the skilled trades. We can't find the workers for those trades. And you look back in Michigan with the Michigan Merit Curriculum, Governor Granholm and Michigan Department of Education Board and the state superintendent felt in order for a student to be successful, they all had to go to a four-year university. That's the only way they're going to be successful. So what happened then, back then, is that the career tech part of education got left behind and kind of just brushed off to the side. But now with the shortage of workers, it's coming to the forefront. And even Governor Snyder in the State of the State is saying we have to do something with career yep. tech. And so we made steps last year. Myself worked very, very hard with Tom Casperson, Ed McBroom to change that Michigan Merit Curriculum to make it a little more easily for students that want to go into career trades that had a different path for the graduation requirements. Mm-hmm. So that's definitely helped us. That's had a big impact on Calumet Schools, that piece, but that was changed. But there still needs to be more reform on the Michigan Merit Curriculum in order for students to have more access and easier access to career trade education. So again, that was one part of it. What we're doing at Calumet, again, we have computer science programming. We still have the wood shop, the metal shops, because we feel that, and our businesses in the local area and also Michigan Tech has told us, don't get rid of the hands-on. Students need to grasp the hands-on before they can go and do it all on a computer. But we also have the hands-on but we also have an excellent computer science program. We've got an excellent CAD program, a really good 3D printing program that's getting national and state exposure, where, like I said, one of our students, they're making incredible things with 3D printers. We make our own 3D printers. We have five right now, and we're making more as I speak. So we want to put those 3D printers all the way down into the middle school. Again, the governor wanted to talk to one of our students and our teachers. So again, the career tech, and what we want to do in Calumet too is we want to expand now on our career tech programming. So we're looking right now of what we need to go out and look for. We're going to be going to the local businesses, asking them, what can we provide? What kind of worker do you need, and what kind of education do they need, so we can actually implement that education and provide workers for our local areas, and also like Marinette Marine and you know, those different manufacturing companies.
And I do want to get your take on the May ballot proposal, the road funding proposal, because it does involve some aspects of funding for education. I guess, in general, what's your take on the back and forth that's been going on?
Well, Sam, I think I'm going to start off, I'm going to put on my educational hat and my superintendent hat, because with the ballot proposal, with the 1% increase in the sales tax, it will provide $300 million a year for the state school aid fund. And when you look at $300 million, that's approximately $225 per pupil increase in funding. Boy, up in Calumet or all the other schools, that would be like almost heaven to get something. We've never seen that kind of increase for a long, long time. So from a superintendent standpoint, from a school standpoint, the ballot proposal is a good one for schools. From a citizen, from a taxpayer, I don't know. I don't think I'm not a person that likes to have taxes raised.
True.
Like even in Calumet, we did a building project and our technology project 5 years ago, and we were able to do it where we didn't raise taxes. I don't think I would be able to go to the voters in Calumet schools and say, you know, we're going to raise your taxes for this and that. I just, because under the economic conditions and people are struggling, just, you know, to put food on the table and just, you know, keep up with living. It's tough times and raising taxes. And I'm not sure this is a fair tax for all. When I look at road funding, for one thing, I think it's just like a building in a school. We maintain our buildings. We got a 1904 high school, which is an incredible building. We maintain it every year. We got a 1934 middle school. We maintain that every year. I think what's happened is Michigan has not taken care of the roads and maintained them. So now when they're all crumbled, now we have to go to the taxpayers and say, you know what, you guys pay for fixing our roads. That'd be the same thing in Calumet. If we didn't maintain our buildings and I said, go to the taxpayers and say, you know what, we got to levy 7 mils because I want to build a new high school because we didn't take care of our high school. I could never do that. So that's how I view this on that kind of standpoint. But again, it's good for schools, but I think there's other ways, possibly looking at road funding. My son plays hockey in Chicago, so you go through Illinois, they got toll booths. So people that are actually using the roads are paying for the maintenance and upkeep of our roads. So I guess, when you look at the whole road funding thing, I think the legislature looked at other options. They decided to put it on to the voters' shoulders to see what could happen. Again, I'm not optimistic on it passing. You look at the polls right now, I think there's only about 40% approval. Where you look at it, I think going into the election, you need to be around 60% approval, or I don't think it's going to have much of a chance in May on the ballot. But again, it would provide a lot of relief and a lot of extra funding for schools. So if you want to look at helping education and providing extra for our students, then vote yes for it.
Just putting a bow on everything that we've spoken about, what do you hope to see for the CLK schools in the future, whether it be in the short term or in the long term? What are your expectations?
Well, I think, again, right now our focal point right now is career tech. What we've done at Calumet, we look at when our kids leave, are they going to be successful in whatever they want to do, whether it's going into a university. That's why we implement the early college program. That we're looking at that's going to ensure their success, and they're going to graduate from a four-year institution if they want to go that route. Mm-hmm. That's why that was put in place. We have an excellent JROTC program, so if they want to go in the military, we have a program in place, so when you get in in the RO program. You can go in the military and you're going to be successful there. We have that program in place for those kids. We do have career in tech, but we want to look at career in tech. And now that's our focus for this next year. Really focus on career tech. What can we put in place to help our kids, whether it's in the culinary, cosmetology, manufacturing? We want to go to the businesses and local communities and say, okay, how else can we help the kids that are not going to the four-year university, the kids aren't going to the military, they want to go out and get a job? What can we do for our kids to ensure that they're successful once they leave Calumet? So that's the main thing that we're going to be focusing is career tech a lot. So that, for the next year, that's going to be a big focal point of Calumet Schools.
All righty, well, that'll wrap up this segment of Copper Country Today. I'd like to thank Daryl Pierce for joining me on today's program.
Thanks, Sam. It's been a pleasure.
Our program is brought to you in part by the members of the Copper Country Education Association and by the Copper Country Veterinary Clinic, proud supporters of the Copper Country Humane Society and the Keweenaw Spay and Neuter Assistance Group. You can also listen to a podcast of our program by going to the Copper Country Today page at keweenawreport.com. We'll be right back with the second segment of Copper Country Today.